Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good Friday morning, everyone. One challenge for the Hillary Clinton campaign that it's been actively trying to address this week is the popularity of third-party candidates among millennials. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. That's why President Barack Obama, First Lady Michelle Obama, and Senator Bernie Sanders were all deployed on Wednesday to rallies in swing states where many young voters were expected to be, like Bernie Sanders speaking at the University of New Hampshire.
So when you have Republicans telling us that it is okay to give tens and tens of billions of dollars in tax breaks to the richest people in this country, do not tell me that we cannot afford to make public colleges and universities tuition-free.
A very direct appeal. And there have been many polls this month showing how well the Green Party candidate Jill Stein and the Libertarian Party candidate Gary Johnson are doing among voters 18 to 34 years old, the voters who went so overwhelmingly for Bernie in the primaries. For example, the Quinnipiac poll from before the debate had Clinton with just 31% support in the age group, Gary Johnson right on her heels at 29%, and Jill Stein at 15%. Now, Jill Stein with her Green Party views kind of makes sense for Sanders voters if they're willing to risk electing Donald Trump. But as for Gary Johnson, this is what we're going to talk about now. It occurred to me that many Sanders supporters considering him must have little or no understanding of what the Libertarian Party actually stands for. Sanders, of course, is a democratic socialist. Libertarianism is the exact opposite of socialism. Socialism is for a strong state to even out the inequalities of the marketplace and provide things like what Bernie mentioned in that clip, tuition-free public college. Libertarianism believes in almost no government at all. On public education, well, it would abolish public education. That's right, abolish it entirely. And I'm not making this up. Here is the paragraph on education from the 2016 Libertarian Party platform. Quote, education is best provided by the free market, achieving greater quality, accountability, and efficiency with more diversity of choice. Recognizing that the education of children is a parental responsibility, we would restore authority to parents to determine the education of their children without interference from government. Parents should have control of and responsibility for all funds expended for their children's education. Parents should have control of and responsibility for all funds expended for their children's education. In other words, no public education. We've tweeted a link to the Libertarian Party platform so you can see for yourself what they say they're all about. Here are a few more examples. On the minimum wage, no minimum wage. The platform says employment and compensation agreements between private employers and employees are outside the scope of government, and these contracts should not be encumbered by government-mandated benefits or social engineering. On Social Security, no Social Security. The party platform says, quote, retirement planning is the responsibility of the individual, not the government. Libertarians would phase out the current government-sponsored Social Security system. Should I keep going? On civil rights laws, no civil rights laws that cover the private sector. Housing and employment and other kinds of discrimination would basically be legal as long as it's not done by the government. The platform says members of private organizations retain their rights to set whatever standards of association they deem appropriate. All right. And on environmental laws, this will be the last one I do for now. You guessed it. No environmental laws. The platform says competitive free markets and property rights stimulate the technological innovations and behavioral changes required to protect our environment and ecosystems. And I could go on. Bottom line, the Libertarian Party makes the Koch brothers look like Karl Marx. Now, to be fair, Gary Johnson as an individual doesn't go as far as the party platform does on many of these things. but on some he does. And this is the party line he's running on. So Bernie supporters and anyone else, if libertarian views are what you believe in, that's fine. Just be aware that that's the party line you're voting for when you choose Gary Johnson. And I think so many people have had no idea of that. So that's why I went into some detail there, the Libertarian Party platform in its own words. And we've tweeted out a link. So let me open the phones now for a few groups of you. First, any Bernie Sanders supporters who've been considering Gary Johnson, you'll get first priority on the phones here. Tell us if you already knew what the Libertarian Party is for and are choosing Johnson with that full knowledge. 212-433-WNYC. If so, how do you square voting for a socialist in the primary and a libertarian in the general? 212-433-9692. Or tell us if you're a Bernie supporter who didn't know all this and what you think now. And anyone who is an actual capital L libertarian, people who wouldn't vote for Bernie in a million years, I presume, because you know full well that libertarianism is the opposite of socialism, you can call in and defend what the Libertarian Party stands for and tell us why you think it's good for America and not a completely unrealistic utopian vision of radical individualism. 212-433-9692. But Bernie supporters, considering Gary Johnson, first priority to you. Screeners, let's save at least a few lines for anybody who might actually fit that bill. 212-433-9692. And with us now to talk more about this is Chicago Tribune columnist Eric Zorn, who wrote a piece this week called What Gary Johnson Really Stands For. Eric, thanks very much for joining us on WNYC. Hello from New York.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
And ironically, I see that just in the last 2 hours, your paper has actually endorsed Gary Johnson. Do you still have your job?
I do. No, they've been very good about publishing my columns all through the years, and my philosophy runs counter to the editorial board's philosophy in a lot of ways. And they are very principled people there, and they really believe that neither candidate this time reflects their views, so they're going to go with Gary Johnson. And, and that's fine. I thought your lead-in, I heard the whole thing, I thought it sums up the case pretty well. The fact is that a lot of people like Gary Johnson because he's, pro-marijuana, and he's pro-choice, and he's pro-gay rights, and he's anti-death penalty. And there's some, he has an array of positions that are attractive to progressives and liberals. And he's got that kind of goofy running shoes, doesn't take himself too seriously affect that a lot of young people seem to find appealing. But I'm appalled, as you are, clearly, that so many voters in this millennial group, and you accurately said it's 29% in the 18 to 35 group, which is usually a fairly liberal voting block, are supporting this guy. And his views, if you skim off the top these kind of quirky, liberal, almost radically liberal views, you have a Koch brothers Republican. And in fact, the Koch brothers have put a lot of money into the founding of the Libertarian Party. One of the Koch brothers ran, I think, for vice president as a libertarian. So your reference to the Koch brothers was spot on. This guy, if you look at some of the views that Gary Johnson espouses, particularly, he supports the Citizens United decision, which has thrown our electoral system basically up for grabs to the people with the most money. He opposes nearly all forms of gun control, and he says only that we should be open to a discussion about keeping guns out of the hands of the mentally ill. Yeah, you think, maybe? Yeah. He wants to get rid of Obamacare completely. He thinks that deregulated competition with insurance companies and hospitals and health providers is just going to work. It's free market magic, and that all those people who were uninsured and now are insured will suddenly somehow find a way to have health care. He's a big free trader, if you like free trade. But as you point out, he wants to privatize, the Veterans Administration. He wants to turn Medicare and Medicaid into state programs. Even though he told the LA Times in an interview that some states would be horrible failures. So you've got Medicare and Medicaid, which are supporting some of our most vulnerable people, and he wants to experiment with it by throwing it to the states, admitting that some of those experiments are going to be horrible failures. I mean, people are going to die. Not that he's going to be elected. I mean, this is the other thing. I mean, we're talking about this all hypothetical. He doesn't stand a chance of being elected. So if you're going to vote for him, you should realize it is a completely symbolic vote. And if you lean Democratic and you're voting for Gary Johnson or, for that matter, Jill Stein, it's a vote for Donald Trump. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Right. But that's sort of another show, and we talked about that yesterday, and that's a legitimate question to ask anybody who leans liberal or progressive and isn't going to vote for Clinton right now. But this is really about just pure information and letting people understand what the Libertarian Party is, as those platform excerpts that I read, what Gary Johnson as a Libertarian Party candidate is for, as some of the additional items that aren't even in the platform that you were just listing that he himself has said, and then people will make up their minds. But I think the ignorance is the real issue here, and the media just hasn't been going with it and going into enough detail in general. Like the things that you mentioned at the beginning of your answer, which I see are also at the beginning of your article, are part of libertarianism, consistent with libertarianism. Legalize recreational marijuana. Well, I think they legalize heroin and meth and crack and everything, too, because they don't believe in drug laws. But pro-pot legalization, yes. Pro-gay, yes. Libertarian philosophy would say the state shouldn't say who is allowed to get married and who is not allowed to get married. It makes me wonder if they think the state should even hand out marriage licenses. Maybe that's not a state function, or maybe the state shouldn't regulate bigamy or polygamy either. That's a different conversation that I guess we could have. But
well, here's another conversation. I mean, libertarianism leads you to the idea that if I'm a restaurant owner and I have freedom, I should be able not to serve a gay couple that walks in. And for that matter, why should I have to serve black people if I walk in? I mean, if you take this libertarian philosophy to its logical conclusion, all civil rights laws are, you know, are an offense to the freedom of someone to discriminate.
Can I just come back to that for a second?
Yeah,
because
sure.
That was one of the excerpts, as you heard, that I read. But I think people just don't get that. This is the Section 3.5, Rights and Discrimination, in the Libertarian Party platform. And it starts by saying libertarians embrace the concept that all people are born with inherent rights. We reject the idea that a natural right can ever impose an obligation on others to fulfill that, quote, right. So it's kind of confusing at the first there, because at first they say they embrace the concept that all people are born with certain inherent rights. That would make you think that they support some basic civil rights laws. But then that next sentence is, we reject the idea that a natural right can ever impose an obligation upon others to fulfill that right. And then they get to the punchline at the end of the paragraph, the part that I read before, that says members of private organizations, which means, you know, businesses, the Woolworth lunch counter, to take a 1950s example, your landlord, retain their rights to set whatever standards of association they deem appropriate. That's the individual rights libertarian point of view.
I don't think that that's a point of view that Gary Johnson holds. I'm not exactly sure. I think he has addressed that, and I think he does have a different view on that particular end of it. But you're right.
And you were going to talk about that in the context of Ron Paul, a famous libertarian who got beat up for that quite a bit when he was running for president.
Right. I was going to bring up the fact that when Rachel Maddow asked him, would you have supported the 1963 Civil Rights Act? He hemmed and hawed and basically said no. And that is just an untenable position in America in the 2000s. It simply is. We have to protect the rights of people. This idea that everyone is free, it falls apart when you think that it gives everybody a right to discriminate based on race and gender, religion, sexual orientation. I mean, that's appalling. That's un-American.
Let's talk to a Bernie Sanders supporter who's been considering Gary Johnson, I think. Alfred in Fort Greene, thanks so much for calling. You're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me. I wanted to push back on the premise, which is the idea that Gary Johnson supporters, or those of us who are conflicted about supporting Johnson, are uninformed about what the Libertarian Party stands for. In many cases, it simply is the issues you brought up aren't the primary deciding factor in our question about who we're going to vote for. And I think, as your guest rightly pointed out, this is a largely symbolic matter. In your listening area, in New York, in Connecticut, in New Jersey, these states are not going to go for Trump. So the question is, do you cast a protest vote that symbolizes your dissatisfaction with the Democratic primary process? And in doing so, you know, hopefully send a signal to the party that more progressive candidates are needed down the road.
And is Gary Johnson going to send that signal, your vote for Gary Johnson, as opposed to, say, your vote for Jill Stein?
Well, I believe Johnson would, simply because they have a larger base already. You have 50 states with Johnson on the ballot, so you have the potential for a larger symbol if you have, you know, Johnson pulling in 10%, 12% on Election Day. And I would point out that, you know, a lot of, you know, the issues that your guests brought up are not issues that are controlled by the president. Those are Article I issues. Those are issues that will be decided by Congress. But in the sphere of, you know, presidential authority, whether to pardon all nonviolent drug offenders, whether to, you know, restrain the use of military force abroad, those are issues that the president could have unilateral influence over. So okay. I think it's...
This is not true. There's lots of ways in which the president impacts environmental policy, education policy, all the budget policy. This guy wants to get rid of the income tax, the inheritance tax, the corporate tax, and make everybody pay like a 28% consumption tax.
That would take a revision to the Internal Revenue Code and take a federal statute.
Eric, I don't even think that's the best example, because people can argue whether a consumption tax or an income tax is a better way to fund the federal government. I think the real libertarians wouldn't have a consumption tax either, the pure capital L libertarians, because they would just be for such limited government and such limited taxation. But I could think of some other examples.
But the argument, I'm hearing from the caller is that, well, he's not going to be very effective. So this is a symbolic vote. But the cost of that symbolic vote is perhaps electing, a madman to the presidency. Let's not kid ourselves about Donald Trump. This isn't like Mitt Romney or John McCain or George W. Bush even. This guy is completely unfit to be president. And it seems like the urgency of this idea that, oh, we're going to cast a symbolic vote and push the Democratic Party some direction or something. I mean, do we have the luxury of that at this point?
Without even going there, because that's the old, you know, that's the question. I mean, we talk about that question all the time. But here we're talking about what libertarianism actually is. And Alfred, to push back from me on your point a little bit that it's not the president's sphere so much, it's Congress's. This Congress, or let's say a Congress with enough Republicans in the Senate and the current House, will repeal Obamacare and send that to the president's desk. Gary Johnson would sign that bill. That's a big deal, right?
Oh, that is a big deal. I think I would treat this very differently if I thought there was a significant risk that Gary Johnson would cost Hillary Clinton the election in New York, where I'm registered to vote, or in the other areas where WNYC is heard. But, you know, if Hillary Clinton is losing New York State, she's lost this election by historic proportions. And at that point, we're talking about a very different story.
Right. So I there mean, is a different context. And Alfred, I'm going to get some other people on. And I guess that much is fair. Eric and my guest, Eric Zorn, from the Chicago Tribune, who had a piece yesterday called What Gary Johnson Really Stands For. If somebody is in a safe state and wants to cast a protest vote, as a lot of people in New York did, say, for Ralph Nader in 2000, and said, I wouldn't have voted for him if I was in Florida. But in New York, it sends a message to the party. That's kind of in a different category than if you're not in a state like New York or your state of Illinois, would you say?
I would agree with that, yeah.
But then there's still the question of why this protest vote, once you learn what he stands for. You know, what I'm noticing on the phones is that all of our 10 lines. Oh, there's one now on line 7. Maybe I'll put her on. Everybody until a second ago who's calling up was male. And we have a tweeter who points that out. She writes, want to bet that all libertarian callers will be white males? Let's see. Which is a demographic reality, more or less, right?
Yes.
So, let's take, let's see, do we have anybody else like Alfred on the board? Let's see. All right, I'm going to, all right, let's try Ephraim in Brooklyn. Ephraim, hi.
Good morning. Thank you, Brian, for taking my call. I think you chose the very luxury opportunity to pick the lines from the libertarian platform, the lines you want, unopposed. And all these lines you cited are actually very convincing. They sound very bad, but if you had your opposite party to debate with, I think you could lose in your proposition that all these proposals, libertarian platform, is bad for people.
Let me, again, be very clear. I am not making an argument, because that's not really what this segment is about, that these are bad for people. People, we could debate that separately, and we should debate that separately. In fact, we've invited the Libertarian – Gary Johnson was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and we've invited the Libertarian Party candidate for vice president, William Weld, to come on next week. We'll see if he accepts. But I'm just pointing out what it is. So on the minimum wage, no minimum wage. On Social Security, repeal of Social Security. On public education, no public education. The platform says it's the responsibility, the financial responsibility of the parents. On civil rights laws, no civil rights laws. Ephraim, if you want to take a minute and say why that vision of America would be good, go ahead. But you know, as a deliverer of facts here, rather than opinions, it's not even what I was doing. But go ahead.
That's what I'm saying. You pick the facts you want, but you do not allow people to hear the justification of these proposals. Everything makes sense. If you for continuation of the war on drugs, go ahead. But how can you justify the almost a million people killed through that war and proliferation of drugs because of this war, and people dying, people incarcerated, black community totally in disarray just because of this war, and anything?
Right. So that's one that's going to be fairly popular among progressives, even with the controversial idea of repealing all the drug laws and heroin would be legal and everything else. Maybe that would be better than the current prohibition system and just treat it as a health care issue, but they wouldn't fund a health care system. What about repealing public education and repealing all the civil rights laws?
I want to educate my children, and why can't I?
And you can. Ephraim, thank you very much. So, all right, that Eric, there was an honest caller. There's a legitimate libertarian who would argue that that the libertarian vision is good for America, but at least he knows what it is.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, as I think I concluded my column by saying, you know, if you know what Gary Johnson stands for and you basically support, no one's going to agree with every position for every candidate they vote for. That's clear. But if you agree with most of the things that Gary Johnson wants to do, then go ahead and vote for him. That's fine. That's what democracy is about. That's what elections are about. I have the strong feeling, as you obviously do too, that a lot of these voters, especially the young voters who consider themselves progressive, are deluded about what Gary Johnson really stands for, what the Libertarian Party really stands for, and it's really important for people like me, people like you, to at least get the word out. You know, you can just say this is what he stands for. If you like it, great, but be sure you know what you're doing when you vote for him.
And this, I guess, brings us to your own paper's editorial board. And this is news, folks. I guess you're going to hear this in newscasts through the day, because just this morning, the Chicago Tribune came out with its presidential endorsement, and sure enough, they endorsed Gary Johnson. So I'm going to read what I think is the heart of the piece paragraph from this. It says, Johnson, who built a construction business before entering politics, speaks in terms that appeal to many among us, expanded global trade and resulting job expansion. He's for TPP. Robust economic growth rather than ever higher taxation. He would cut taxes dramatically, as you've obviously figured out, to raise taxation, a smaller and less costly federal government. Johnson has said cut the federal budget by 43%. Faith in Americans' ability to parlay economic opportunity into success. While many Democrats and Republicans outdo one another in opposing the proposed Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal, or TPP, we're amused by this oddity. Today, the nation's two most ardent free traders arguably are Barack Obama and Gary Johnson. Ha ha ha. That is true. That is funny, isn't it, Eric?
I suppose, yeah. I mean, I don't know that I would call Barack Obama a free trader, but anyway.
Well, he's out there. He's going to try to get TPP through Congress, I think, in a lame duck session. While enough free trading Republicans are still there before Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump becomes president after Election Day.
I'm not exactly sure where Hillary Clinton's going to go on TPP when she's elected. Frankly, it's unclear to me. You know, she does slip and slide in her positions. She's got her finger to the wind a lot of times, and you know, clearly Bernie Sanders moved her to the left. And whether the general election and if she's elected, all that moves her back to the right, back toward the middle, is still, I think, up in the air.
There's been so much pushback against her for exactly that suspicion that she's going to find a way to say, oh, you know, that was that version of the TPP. Now we have another version that fixes the problems, and it's a little bit different and lets her go back to her original position, which is that this is, you know, good for America rather than the one she adopted. But there's been so much pushback on that she keeps saying, and she said it again in the debate the other night because Trump went there too, that she's not going to change her position on this. She's being forced into a pretty solid campaign promise, don't you think?
Well, yeah, but she did say it was the gold standard at one point. So she has the ability to change her mind, and she certainly has. And she's also by far not the only candidate to do that. And I think Trump has changed his position more times on more issues than she has by quite a bit. So yeah, I mean, yes, but as far as our editorial goes, our editorial board does have some libertarian leanings to it, and mm-hmm. I know these people very well. I respect them, and I know that they went into this studying the platforms and the positions of these candidates very well. They know what they're talking about, and I don't agree with them, but that's fine. That's editorial writing. That's column writing. But I certainly respect their viewpoint. And again, I say this again. If you know what like the candidate stands for, you've looked at all his positions or her positions, and then you cast a vote, then, you know, that's fine. I just feel like what we need to do here is make sure people know what Gary Johnson stands for, what he is.
Gary Johnson voter Jerry in Flushing. Jerry, you're on WNYC. Hey.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I'm a Republican, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a young, well, not quite young anymore, but I'm in the 30s. And so I'm in the cutoff age, but I'm actually more of a Gen X than Gen Y.
To paraphrase President Obama once upon a time to Hillary Clinton, you're young enough, Jerry.
thank you. But I do want to stress that I really appreciate the show. It's great. But to hear that, there's a lot of platform things to talk about. But what I really want to say is that I think it's looking at the candidate themselves and their record and also their proven record. And just to hear that, also know that both Trump and Clinton are not, at least on this issue, are not free traders. I'm a big proponent of free trading. And to hear both candidates who have benefited quite a bit from free trading are now against it. I really like to see that the candidate stick with the issue,
right.
And so I think Johnson is right on target.
Jerry, thank you very much. Let's do one more who wants to push back. David in Summit, you're on WNYC. David, thanks a lot for calling. David, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Go ahead.
So I'm neither pro nor for Gary Johnson or the Libertarian Party.
Pro nor anti? Nor anti?
But I think thank you. But I think you know, the two-party system has failed America. It's broken. We have two candidates that are almost universally reviled. And I just wanted to point out that, again, not defending the Libertarians, but I think at least as you read their platform statement at the beginning of the of your statement, it sounded to me that was not anti or completely abolishing private education,
public education,
but would be more in alignment with voucher systems.
Well, to be fair to Gary Johnson, I think his proposal, and Eric Zorn, correct me if I'm wrong, is for not zero government expenditures on education, but rather I think it's a $3,500 a year voucher for parents, but that would still abolish all public schools. And the platform does say, in a simple declarative sentence, parents should have control of and responsibility for all funds expended for their children's education.
Yeah, he is. Gary Johnson is a voucher proponent. He's not for zeroing out funding for education. He's definitely a proponent of vouchers, which would destroy public education. But yeah,
David, thank you very much. Well, I guess we're going to leave it here.
We solved the problem.
At least pointed out what the Libertarian Party is in 2016, and which I emphasized. And thank you, Eric, for putting a lot of meat on the bones about Gary Johnson's individual positions. Again, listeners, we've tweeted out a link to the Libertarian Party platform so you can read it for yourself, and then you'll decide if that's where you are. And Eric Zorn, columnist for the Chicago Tribune, thank you for giving us some time.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we'll get the latest on the aftermath of the Hoboken train crash. Stay with us.